everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We're working with round five, and we are transforming. Gosh, I had just a momentary blip. Like, am I saying the right one? I think we are working with sadness and overexcitement, transforming them into their healthy role, which is that of harmony. So, amongst that all, I'm going to invite you to get comfy cozy, settle on in, make any adjustments, and I'm actually going to invite you on purpose to let yourself move as much as you want to throughout the entire session. As we force ourselves to adopt certain postures and stay still in certain ways, we end up taking things in through the same lens, and like the same old lens that we're used to taking everything in. So feel free to switch it up and be novel in your body posture at any point in time. And that even includes while we're engaging the initial stages here as we get into the session. So while you're breathing, while you're resourcing, while you're doing all the things that we do in our sessions, I'm going to invite you just to notice how your body wants to be versus keeping in any one position. Okay, I digress. I'm going to invite you to focus here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. Every inhale, calling in, receiving, drinking in life. Every exhale, a surrender, a release, a letting go. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to savor it, to drink it in, and to let yourself steep in it. And amongst that all, I'm going to offer these words here. I invite you to take a moment to look around your space, externally or internally, whatever feels right for you. And I'm going to invite you to, as you begin to scan your environment, taking all the things that are pleasant to neutral, letting yourself go through various different nooks and crannies that you might not have explored or aren't familiar with. So every once in a while, surprise yourself, look up, look down, or just look in different directions. That includes, if you're internal, just exploring different avenues inside of your cell. And then letting your gaze, external or internal, land on one thing. Land on one thing. And notice what it is you like about this thing in this moment. Maybe it's something that it reminds you of an aspect of yourself, or it was a really good memory. Maybe it's like the shape or the color or the size. Maybe it's the way the light and the shadow play with it. And as you take note of those things, the invitation is to savor them all, one by one, collectively as a whole, however you choose. But savoring it in a way that you might appreciate a piece of really good, yummy chocolate, a piece of something that you've been saving up to really like serve in like on a special occasion, something like along those lines. Let me invite you to feast here and now on this beauty. And as we feast on this beauty, drinking it in, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all of our compassionate helpers, both seen and unseen, who have gathered here with us. Thank you for holding this space safe and sacred, guarding it in a way that protects us so we can journey safely here today and is held sacred alike And thank you to all that's gone into this sweet moment of connection. Thank you to your families, your ancestors that created them, and the lineage that's held it all. And the deepest of thank you to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have nourished us all, that have nourished those that have come before and those yet to arrive. And we give thanks for this earth that holds us, grounding us, the sky above, reminding us what it is to have space, the water and the fires that purify us, that pour through us, that allow us to connect in ways that we have would not be able to otherwise navigate or move amongst. Fire reminding us what it is to rise above, to soar, just like the smoke that carries it to the heavens, to source itself. The water reminding us to flow, to be fluid, and to be able to go into all the earthly realms. We give thanks for the combination of it all and the element that holds them all, the element of quintessence, the fifth element, the element that's often ascribed to source, to spirit. Thank you. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Okay, as we start off today's session, we're interestingly enough in the 12th house, which is the house of that liver, liver meridian. And the 12th house is very much about letting go, surrendering, releasing, making space. And it's meant to do so in order for you to center your ego in the center point of self. Ego isn't the fullness of self. Ego is what you believe yourself to be. And then there's self, which isn't actually a required belief. And as we work with centering these two, it automatically forms an individuation process. And the individuation process, which we hear about in body talk, we think of it as general consciousness, big four, connected to the heart. And we do it like layer by layer by layer. And there's also a completion point. And that entirety, the completion of that in entirety, will be referred to as, in Carl Jung's work, individuation. So as we work with this, we're actually working with that particular piece, being centered to source in a way that supports your full recognition, landing of you into your senses, into your nervous system, into your heart primarily. So as we link this up to the heart space, working with all things heart, including the chakra, the heart brain, the heart organ, you get the idea, working with all levels of hearts. There's so many different here. And the heart is, its energy field is 60 to 100 times stronger than any other energy field. And it's thought that this individuation process is meant to be centered in heart space. So it's like the backdoor approach. And we get a glimpse of that in the fifth house. And the fifth house, which is the house of the heart meridian, it all sources with individuation. So in a way, there's like an early glimpse of of individuation, of waking up along the journey. So think of this not so much as putting pressure on yourselves to hit full-on individuation, as more of an invitation for whatever layers are in the heart that are ready to, or that have already been met by the heart, to be more fully individuated by the soul, by the liver. Okay. And if all of that feels a little kind of airy-fairy, let it all go. We're going to link this all firmly into the organ of the heart as well. And here we're working with, it's got excess turbulence in it. In Chinese medicine, we would say it has excess heat. And it looks like it's actually connected to the hormonal realm. So we're going to do a general hormonal balancing on like the basics, like estrogen, testosterone, progesterone. But we're also including the rest of the full panel, all of them, including all the ones that have not even been fully recognized by Western medicine as of yet. And yet they still have secretions in their own way. They have blood vessels surrounding them. The perineal body, which is like the center of our perineum. I think I've talked about this in the last month or so a few times. The perineal body has a bunch of blood vessels around it, and it's like an endocrine gland in its own right. So we're including those realms as well. And looking at all the various hormones that are recognized and those that are still entering the scene in terms of Western medicine knowledge. And all of that, we need to link into the pancreas. Pancreas is meant to give us that sense that there's sweetness in life to be digested, there's something to look forward to. And it's almost like the hormones had forgotten that. So as we connect the hormones to the pancreas, we're supporting them in remembering the sweetness in life. And remembering the sweetness in life as well in a way that brings in more harmony, more sweetness, and creates balance, which the heart loves, by the way. The heart, in addition to doing the heart chakra, in addition to doing all its regular jobs, also balances the three chakras above with the three chakras below. There's no small amount of centering and balancing that this heart chakra is made for. Okay? So as we balance it in these ways, and as we support the hormones in finding sweetness in life again, we're gonna run a body chemistry on cleaning out anything that those hormones are carrying that says otherwise. It's almost like the hormones themselves are circulating messages of low self-esteem, insecurity, shame, and some of those messages are along the lines of, don't bother, you won't get anywhere anyways. It's not okay to be yourself, stop acting that way. Okay. So they're very strong, like the core messages that we receive that are on the challenging side from early life. Okay. At the same time as all of this, to support that, as well as ongoing support in general, we're gonna run the permissions. And the words are simply here. I change my mind with ease. And that could be you change your mindset, your thoughts, your beliefs, your ideas, your opinions, etc. So I'm keeping it really broad on purpose. And the words here are again, I can change my mind with ease. I can change my mind with ease. And it's sinking into what almost looks like stuck flow of the gallbladder bile and the pancreatic enzymes. And in other words, like the things that create digestion or break down things, metabolize things. So to support this, we're bringing in hydration as well as circulation of all the healing resources through both gallbladder and pancreatic enzymes. That's going to include that blood that carries our passion, nerve or communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal on all levels, including that nervous system and then our immune system. And we're also going to balance the yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, with the yang, the masculine essence of protection as a whole. And we've talked about hydration, bringing in that water, that joy, releasing any impurities that no longer need to be here. And in particular, I'm seeing it clean out rigidity. We talked about water being able to get into like the nooks and the crannies in an earthly realm early on, not before the session even really started, more in the invocation there. In that same way, this hydration I see is getting into all the little nooks and crannies in the spaces between the gallbladder bile, the pancreatic enzymes, to just break down what's here. In other words, to be able to break down old thought patterns, old ideas, old mindsets, old opinions. And to bring in new ones that might be supportive, or potentially there's just a vacation mode that gets set. In other words, it doesn't need to be replaced with anything else. It actually is fine being blank. And instead, it might just carry a quality of like light, sunlight, starlight, moonlight, or maybe a color, silver, gold, pink, white. You get the idea. As we support the system in these various ways of engaging with metabolizing of the old, I see it as supporting what's already been known. It's not that there isn't awareness of things that can be joyful and beautiful. It's just a matter of getting it in And in support of that, we're actually going into the legs, and it's going to include like the feet, the knees, the hips, the joints in particular of the legs. And the joints in general are meant to represent transition and points of transition. And there's a sense here of just having a hot flash, bear with me. I'm actually not hot flashing yet, but my brain has now created a new signal to let me know right before I have a hot flash, which is handy in its own ways, but also seems to extend the hot flash in my awareness. So as we go to the legs for the transition points, it's like they are carrying ancestral wisdom that carries a message of like, look out, that could be danger. Look out, you could get lost. Look out, that could be a pitfall. Look out, we don't know what's below, beneath us. And I was tapping into a time where the ancestors were just starting to lose ways with the natural world, and we're entering like the modernization of the world. I don't know history very well, but like things like the Industrialized Revolution. So it was around that point in the ancestor where they were just starting to lose that capacity to just be in nature and not have to look down and not have to be super aware of everything, because they were just automatically in tune with it, and they could sense danger when they needed to and didn't necessarily have to be always on guard. I might be anthropomorphizing the past a little bit, but you get the idea. It's working with where that insecurity in our own nature began. And that began in, yes, your ancestry, and there was also a point in your life where you lost that too. So we're here to restore, to reclaim what I'm going to refer to as, I'm stealing this phrase from Michael Mead, he's a mythologist who I love. We're gonna hear, or we're here to restore now, a reclamation of radical resiliency. This is gonna sound a little interesting. We're gonna link this, we're gonna start off this by linking it into the peripheral gaze. So if we weren't living in the modern world, which has us constantly looking at a screen in the center, or driving, or you get the idea, we're often looking just like right here, which creates tunnel vision. If we were working more and living in a hunter-gatherer idea, sort of a condition, we would actually be just easily placing most of our visual attention on our peripheral gaze, and we'd pretty much let go of anything in the focal of the vision point in the very center. And we would ascribe it to more of the outer edges in a way that allows us to scan effortlessly and take in a broader range of information. And this is where you could easily like catch that little animal and hunt, or catch that berry up to the side and gather something that you might not ordinarily be doing if you were constantly having to crank your head, which creates and induces anxiety in a certain way if we're always having to look for it, versus just being able to casually notice it, as casually as you might be like, I need a drink of water, so I'm going to pick this cup up and have a sip. Okay. So in that understanding, as we link to the outer edge of the gaze, it also brings in, as the outer body does, the essence or the consciousness of stability, the essence or consciousness of being able to be contained is also held in the side body. So even though we're stretching outward, we're also meeting a stable containment. Think of this as helping as well, not just to notice things that are like hunting and gathering opportunities, but things that are nourishing in general. As we orient our gaze to what's nourishing, we orient towards the beauty. We begin to turn away from constantly being in survival mode and thinking, look out, there's got to be something wrong, there's a danger there. And then we're going to link that back into feet, knees. And it's like with this piece, the hips are more solid in their own foundation. And that in turn allows some of the stress to come off of the hips, pardon me, the knees and the ankles. There's a running joke that knees are not knees, really. Knee issues are related primarily to hip and to ankle. Right now I'm seeing the hips releasing old ways of navigating, having to willfully keep yourself safe versus being able to just recognize more easily when things are not so safe. And being able to allow your nervous system within that easeful recognition to open up an expanse of possibilities, to open up creative agency even within that. And then we're linking the in particular left knee through to the right ovary, the right knee up to the left ovary. Then we're linking the right foot to the left adrenal, and the left foot to the right adrenal. I think I alluded to this. I can't remember when. It would have been in the last few weeks. I think, yeah, definitely last few weeks, where I talked about how the energy of the appendix, which is in a way an endocrine gland, and it's in some thinking, I'll just put it that way. And not open up Pandora's box there. But the idea is that our appendix is meant as an endocrine gland, its energy is meant to go down your right leg and to root you, to earth you, to ground you. And then through the, in your in utero development, this is also meant to happen, in your in utero development, the intestines and where the energy of them ends, there is like a rooting down the left leg that's meant to happen, energetically speaking. And if that doesn't take place, then we can see all sorts of compensatory patterns. I'm seeing that between the knees and the ovaries and the feet and the adrenals. The feet are also connected to the adrenals out of the fear response of I'm gonna kick and get away or I'm gonna run and get away. So whether it's fight or flight, it's in there. And for the knees, they're actually carrying willpower, which is also the message of the ovaries, which is very much about will to create, will to live, will to be in existence. And again, returning back to the, I can change my mind with ease. I can change my mind with ease, linking that into these new ways of releasing, these new ways of setting down the old fight flight patterns from the feet, and the old ways that you're willing yourself to be here versus just allowing the will of life itself to carry you. And here we're linking this now into a cell repair. Restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health for both the knees and the feet alike. And running the permissions, it's safe. I got away. It's safe. That's over now. I'm safe now. And we're tapping this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And we invite you to just give that all a couple of breaths and to bring in just a bit of movement into the lower legs, upper legs alike. If that feels like the upper legs want to join the party, feel free to invite them to do so. I'm gonna put my layer back on now that my hot flash is over. And the movement here, maybe even accompany that with like a little like, little sound of that exhale. Okay. So we're working with another cell repair, interestingly enough. Again, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. We're doing it for the diaphragm, the regular breathing diaphragm at the base of the rib cage. Works with control, emotional processing. Can also work with holding on, moving on, and integration. And it's interesting, this is the muscle associated with the breath. I invite you to link that breath right now, right here, right into the areas that we were just working, the knees and the feet. And as you do so, creating a more secure foundation as we release panic from the diaphragm. It's releasing it from wherever the diaphragm connects its breath to flow, which is, well, everywhere. So it's interrupting circulation of energy flow. And then we're linking that, interestingly enough, into the navel, the area just behind it, which has a heavy concentration of blood vessels. And the area just behind it is also meant to carry your Agni, or fire, the fire in the belly, which works with our capacity to digest and to metabolize our world, which also then minimizes the amount of panic or fear we need to walk into anything, because we're like, well, I can handle that, I can digest that, that's not bigger than me. And the Ming Men, interestingly enough, hangs out in lumbar 2, lumbar 3, more so in the back body, and it's meant to carry our pilot light to our body. It's as if the pilot light has forgotten how to work together with the fire in the belly. So we're just reconnecting these two. And running one more cell repair. And this time it's actually on the right armpit, which connects. Well, the right armpits are kind of an interesting, both armpits are pretty interesting. But the armpits are thought to reflect and to connect to what's been hanging out in the lungs and the heart area as a whole. In a way, we can think of this as working on releasing old, I'm gonna call it manic energy, that you felt that you were instructed to suppress. Or it may have seemed to other people like it was like too big of an energy that was coming through you. And it was kind of overwhelming for them. So they said, no, you can't do that. And they made you ashamed of your natural instinct to just be big and bold in your expression. And with that, the energy of I'll just play small came in and kind of took over. And in doing so, there was a loss of confidence, a loss of security, a loss of like even willingness to celebrate. Willingness to declare yourself as victorious. And then I'm just seeing the body posture that goes with that victory, which is like arms up. Yeah. And an exposing of the armpits that happens within that. And we invite you to imagine in a good way, and I know this might be a challenge because your old memories might be in the way, but we invite you to imagine that you, throughout the stages of life, you might have one age in particular, it might be the age now that you're working with, like the age you currently are, or it might be from younger years. And we invite you to imagine that whatever age of you can literally like be in that like, yes, I did it, posture, arms overhead, victory. And that you actually get praise for that. You actually get like high five for that. You get like a good job. You did that. Yeah, you did. That was awesome. You did such a good job on that. And that in turn is linking into the small intestine to begin to reprogram how it is your awareness, your discernment, your intellect are being informed by what's happening. To make it easier to digest, got it now, whatever situation you're walking into, so you can do it with greater ease and confidence. So, in essence, bringing in the care of love, pardon me, the consciousness of love, the consciousness of care, and the consciousness of tenderness into you celebrating, into you being victorious, into you opening up your heart, into you. Being able to celebrate your achievements in a way that feels recognized and in alignment with the value that you held for that and the effort that you put into it alike. And as we do this, releasing the familiar pattern potentially of dismissing yourself and your own achievements, dismissing your own recognition. To a point where you might not even start that next project, where you might not even have like the drive to actually like go do that awesome, cool next thing that you've been really wanting to do. Or it might even prevent you in thinking about doing it. It might even prevent you in thinking about anything creative. So here, think of it as restoring the will to creatively express yourself in this life. As we link that into your throat chakra, I just simply hear the words like a permission statement. I will be heard. Not out of like a righteous, fierce, I have to, fight for this, but out of a sense of like just knowing, of confidence, of like, I will be heard. I will be heard. And I know that because I've been heard. I've been received in what I've said before, and it's worked out well. My words matter. And I know the impact they can carry, I know they can land. And maybe it's about expression that's nonverbal in much the same way. And that too gets to matter. So how you show up, how you create, how you move forward gets to be acknowledged, valued, celebrated, recognized as yours. Like you did that. And as you nourish this from the inside out, it supports the alignment of the centering of ego and the centering of self. Running another lymphatic drainage. This time through the diaphragm. And going into particular there's a ligament that goes through the back of the diaphragm. Your diaphragm goes from the front body all the way through to the back body all the way around. It's like the only muscle that does that horizontally. Pretty cool. And it goes down into the ligament that anchors your diaphragm into your low back. And in that low back, which is often an area where we hold our self-value, our abundance, how we orient to the goodness of our own self. We might even say the security we have within ourselves. I see it as releasing old depression, like stuff that happened before you. This is ancestral and like a really depth core depression. Sadness, maybe an easier word to relate to for some of you. And this is going back to again, that same point in history where the modern world came in, turning us away from more of the natural world, and that loss of the primal wild nature began to subtly, slowly, surely, over generations, create a certain type of mental angst, to create a certain type of, feeling separate from others. Feeling separate from source, feeling separate from yourself, feeling like you have to act a certain way in order to be accepted by others, to the point where you actually dismiss your own knowing, your own thoughts, your own feelings, your own awareness, which happens every single day for every human alive, darn near most of them. And that self-dismissal to fit in, to be accepted by the greater, larger whole of society became a new form of means of garnering protection, which created some wobbles in the nervous system, which is meant to be protective. You were built to be protected. However, your nervous system wasn't built in modern times, it was built long ago. So it doesn't always know how to adapt to these new types of stressors that are around. So here, releasing through the ancestral lines, kidney 24 points, which are roughly in the middle of the chest, which are also known as the spiritual burial grounds, carrying all of our influx of energy into the ancestral realms through our kidney meridian, which some say also goes, excuse me, down the rib cage, almost like you can see like the lineage one by one by one by one by one by one by one going all the way through. Interestingly enough, the first thing that we're going to do here is link it into the acceptance points. The acceptance points are not from body talk, they're from breathwork training. There's four of them. They hang out roughly at the base of the skull, and there's two more just slightly above that, by about an inch and a half or so. And with the accept within the acceptance points, bringing in humility to change, bringing in humility to notice when certain changes actually aren't supportive for us and certain changes are supportive for us. And bringing in acceptance of the conditions that are to support your capacity to surrender into the isness. Then here we're unhooking a bundle of beliefs. And the beliefs here are, I'm stuck in pain. We're also unhooking that from where the limbic brain and the brain stem, the reptilian brain, meet. That transition point. And it's almost looping around this. There's no way out of this. We're going to be stuck here forever. There's no way to get out of this. Life is a trap. And as we release this into the acceptance points, it moves away from having to do something about that to being to surrender in a way that allows us to navigate those concerns by playing a completely different game, other than the one of trying to fit in, trying to make the current status quo move forward. And I just see this as, and this may not go over very well, as the knees bend, releasing the consciousness of having to keep going through means of your own asserting your own willpower, and releasing that. The word here is the consciousness, and this is always an interesting word when this one comes up, consciousness of submission. And that means usually not what most people make it mean from an emotional sense. It's just simply acknowledging, like, hey, I could do this on my own, or like in a way that I willfully want to do it, Or I could invite in some other outside assistance and support and receive help in what appears to be outside potentially, but may actually also be a reflection of your inner states. And as we work with a consciousness of submission, it fires up some I am woman, hear me roar, rage, unrighteousness around, like, no, I won't be doing that. Thank you very much. And the feeling of maybe even being insulted to even consider it. And I'm actually going to suggest that submission is a form of humility. It's a form of surrender. It's a form of going like, hey, I actually don't have to do this all on my own. There's actually another energy here through source, through spirit, through, well, self versus ego that's available. Running lymphatic drainage, again, cleaning out toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing through the diaphragm, through the spine, going all the way up to where the brainstem and that limbic, the emotional brain, meets. Doing an emotional release of sadness. It's actually in the spleen meridian, which runs through the inner leg. It's meant to bring nourishment all the way up into the chest, head, all the way up to the very top of the body. And as it brings that nourishment up, it's meant to circulate at an unconscious level, empowering messages, empowering understandings of how to move in this world. Okay, for the spleen meridian, we're also working with, I'm going to call it turbulent flow that got reversed. When that happens, instead of bringing nourishment up, it actually creates some chaos in potentially like vomiting or just feeling nauseous. And again, creating a sense of indigestion. We're heading back into the family lines. We're going into dad's side. We're going back 6 generations. I'm going to say masculine pride that wouldn't submit to humility. And that's where most of this is coming from. And in recognizing the ego as like the most grandiose thing. There was an inability to see what was actually grander than it. Might be the simplest way to phrase that. So we're actually going back 6, 7, 8 generations, depending upon your family. Everyone's a little bit different, but it's in that window. And here, supporting a couple of different things. A release of belief systems that say you have to be the best and you can never show that you're not. And the image management that goes within that, the habit pattern of that. Surrendering that from the coating, the myelin sheath, the coating of the nervous system, as well as, interestingly enough, the cerebrospinal fluid, which was bathing. The which bathes the brain and the spinal column in this messaging. And then we're going to release the pressure of, I'm going to say, the parental messaging of, you have to be better. You should be better than this. And for some of you, you might have heard, like, why aren't you better at that? Or it may have just been a thought pattern that they held in their minds. And basically living out, I'm going to say, any unresolved perfectionistic issues, any drive for perfectionism that your parents can do, got basically passed on to you. So in essence, we're dealing with the unresolved issues that were carried within our parents. And that's actually what's meant by the Bible's line of the sins of the fathers shall be visited upon the children. It's just referring to unfinished business. It actually wasn't yours. So as we resolve some of this, we're actually going into the masters, which link, yes, into our genetic code, and also work with our inheritance through that genetic code. So releasing this from the jaws. And instead, we're working now with the permissions to, let me say, level that spiky drama to a more simple, neutral essence of I am human. If you really want a goal for gold, I'm ordinary human. If you want to go for a gold sundae with a cherry on top, I am extraordinarily human, meaning you're so ordinary. Like, not extraordinary in the sense that you're special in some way, that you're unique in some way, but in the sense that you're so ordinary. You're so just regular human. And that's more than enough. In fact, that's where the magic lies. In essence, what if you didn't have to be superhuman? And this is me mostly talking to your ancestors at this juncture, perhaps you as well. What if you didn't have to be superhuman, but instead you actually got to create a whole lot more ease for yourself and just be an extraordinary human, which honors your own wiring, which means you actually don't have to cover up or mask anything. You just get to be authentically you, to express the magical gifts that are here and look at the challenges that are potential opportunities to develop those gifts in further ways. And then this might, well, I'll just say it. How you react is yours. But the permissions here to support this all, what a setup, are simply the words, I love you. I love you. And if you didn't hear that from your parents or your ancestors, didn't hear that from their parents, that's all the more reason for it to be heard here and now. I love you. And even if you never had it, I wonder what it might be like in this moment to exercise your creative agency and to imagine what it was like to be held in love. I wonder what it was like to have been fully informed and heard and to know down to the very cells of my bones that I was loved by my parents. And that same essence of loving parents, perhaps you have become that loving parent. Perhaps you already know what it's like to be loved by your parents. With that same essence of love, that you may be familiar or just getting to know wherever you are in that process, offering that to any achy sore spots in the body. Maybe it's those knees and feet that we worked with earlier. Maybe it's somewhere else. Maybe it's that low back. Maybe it's the jaws. Maybe it's wherever it is in the body. I'm going to invite you to direct that infusion of love into those spaces, into those places. As we do so, releasing confusion, releasing the sadness that inherently goes with that confusion, because we're missing the mark if we're confused, and which will lead to depression of some sort, and allowing for us to rest in what it is to be held in clarity of love. to release that confusion. It's releasing the confusion as well of saying, I am this and I will prove that I am that, and the arrogance that goes into needing to prove that you're the best or that you are wherever it is you're like looking to be seen or validated, particularly more so in that way, which is just an unmet need of having not been validated from your early life. Okay, and as we rest more so in the clarity of the knowingness of love, I see the prefrontal cortex turn on, which is thought to be our high heart, linking it down into the regular heart. And then linking down into that area just below the navel. In that same way that we were working with the Agni, the fire, what if that was actually just a base level of instinctual love that's just here? In the same way that animals are born to potentially even like care for another species on occasion. In the same way that we lovingly receive the nourishment that we do in the beauty of this earth. We get to steep ourselves in the luminosity, the radiance of that nourishment so deeply that it forms a fire. And as you grant yourself any bits and pieces, or maybe that felt like it was completely missing, any forms of missing nourishment, I see it as beginning to defrag your primary source of your fire. And we're linking that into how it is you're relating to all things fire elements, which balance all of our sadness, all of our overexcitement alike. And I'm seeing it begin to as well satiate what I'm going to refer to as a hungry ghost, meaning it felt like almost like an empty void that can never be filled, but somehow is with this base level of love. And as these fires line up between head, heart, and gut, we're connecting wisdom with the essence of knowing, with the essence of instinct, lining that to the vital life that flows through your central column, your central channel, the nervous system energy that is meant to protect you and in its own way create nourishment. And equally connecting it into the endocrine system, which was created to nourish you and its own way to protect you. And linking this balance between all things nervous system, all things hormonal endocrine, linking it into your hips, your pelvis, your foundation, your tailbone, to create a new playing field. Where you get to be centered so deeply, so steadfastly, that it sets the stage for an even deeper alignment between ego and self to continue almost like an upward spiral to cultivate and build upon itself. At the same time as this, expanding the Wei Qi around in primarily the areas that we worked with, the jaw, the knees, the feet, the protective energy layer that surrounds our entire external body, that brings in its own form of almost like a cushioning of support, energetically speaking, keeping us safe physically, emotionally, climactically, psychically, on all levels. And I just simply see that linking into the permission statement, which is going to continue to fuel this all. I cherish love. I cherish love. And I honor myself. I cherish love. And I honor myself. As it happens, I'm seeing past life after past life after past life drop away. and they're connected to things that are more like alien or machine-like in imagery. I'm not seeing them in any other form than just like image after image after image. And it's releasing this idea that you are foreign to yourself, that you should just be this machine-like entity which doesn't live, or you're not even in recognition of it, so it becomes something that you attribute to being an alien. Which a lot of people have some different thoughts and beliefs about all of that. So this is really if your worldview depends upon this and aligns with this, feel free to lean into it. And if not, let that pass on by. So again, I cherish love and I honor myself. And that past life energy is coming off on primarily the reptilian brain, which governs our instincts. And in doing so, letting go of any and all identities that are associated with those. And beginning to repattern the instinct now to nourish and to flourish versus just being in that mission to drive to survive. Nourishing to flourish on the other side of driving to surviving. My Dr. Seuss moment for the day, y'all. Give it all some breath. We're gonna tap that all in. Breathing here, receiving here. And giving that a few slow, deep inhales, exhales. And on that note, it feels fitting to play beautiful choruses song Pachamama from Hymns of Spirit. I'm inviting you to rest, and if you want to touch on that resource that we found earlier, feel free to do so. To nourish, to flourish, and to be held.
I wanna be free, so free. Like a feather blowing through the breeze, like a bird in a tree, like a dolphin in the sea. I wanna fly high, so high, like an eagle in the sky. And when my time has come, I'll let it all go with a sigh. Pachamama. Pachamama, I'm coming home to the place where I belong. I wanna be free, be me, be the only being that I see. Not to rise and not to fall, be at one with love and all. There is no high, no low. Except inside, open up your heart and be just who you are. Pachamama, I'm coming home to the place where I belong. Pachamama. Pachamama, I'm coming home to the place where I belong. Pachamama.
Thank you for calling this. Oops, didn't catch that. I thought I did. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you to all of our helpers, both seen and unseen, who gathered here with us today. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Mwah. Wishing you beautiful blessings in the rest of your day and your week ahead. You're most welcome, everyone. Wishing you a flourishing day as well. Thank you. Okay, y'all. I'll sign off for now. And if anyone needs any additional support, feel free to hang out. And otherwise, we will see you next week. Bye for now, loves.